Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Cleveland, everybody. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Welcome to One Bills Live. Presented by Kaleida Health. Who are you waving to?
Waving the
crowd?
The camera. Yeah. People are out there watching.
We are on location. We've been on location for the last month or so at training camp, so this is nothing new. But we are inside the downtown Cleveland Hilton Hotel, a beautiful hotel, and they've set us up well. They've done a great job setting us up here to do the show the next 3 hours.
We have a late-arriving studio audience.
Yeah, they're down like taking advantage of the buffet lunch.
Nobody's here.
This is a great hotel. Have you noticed that?
It is nice.
I asked somebody. They said it's only a couple years old. This is one of the best hotels I've been in a long time.
Yeah, when you come here for CBS, we'll stay at different hotels. This is the first time I've ever stayed here.
Yeah.
And we pulled in, and I was like, wow, this is
nice.
Yeah.
And they've been great. They've accommodated us, and we have a lot to ask when we come here to do radio, TV, simulcast like this. And they've done everything for us. I think we're doing okay. The show looks like the show.
You've got to like a hotel that's well-staffed.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
When they know what they're doing. You talk to somebody, and they go, yes, and they do it instead of, I don't know. Let me go check and see if I can find any. They've been on it. It has been very nice.
It's a great hotel. They're doing a great job with us. And while we're throwing out bouquets, we got to throw out one to our producer, Jay Harris. He has done the work of three men here over the last less than 24 hours.
Rented mules, let alone three men.
Jay drove down here yesterday as soon as our show ended at 3:15. Steve and I in the car. We're getting work done.
John and I were napping.
No, I didn't nap. I got a ton of work done in the car, 3-hour drive. Jay got us here safely and immediately jumped into action, setting us up here. One man doing the work, as I said, of three men. A couple of those slackers back there in the control room on Orchard Park really should have come down here to help him. You know who you are. But but seriously, Jay's done a great job. How about a round of applause, everybody, for Jay Harris, our producer? Jay's one of them clapping. But thanks for tuning in. We're on the radio, of course, on our flagship in Buffalo, and on TV and MSG with a simulcast.
And it's a little
today.
Buzzy here in Cleveland, too.
What do you mean?
I think there's a little bit of vibe going on. This is their first home preseason game. They got Baker Mayfield showing up, Tyrod Taylor. The Hard Knocks, I think the city's going to turn out, get a good crowd for this Cleveland game down here. They're looking for their Brownies to play well tonight.
Well, I had
a lot of stuff going on in this game, too.
Two separate Lyft drivers, one going, one coming last night, who were both all about this game. Can't wait for this game.
Yeah.
Both coming to the game tonight here in Cleveland. First home preseason game for the Browns. And as Steve said, there's a buzz about this team. I mean, there's only one way to go for this team, Steve. They're 0-16 last year and 1-15 the year before. The fact that there is a buzz about this game, I think, says a lot about the great fan base here in Cleveland. They are some of the best fans in the NFL.
And I think they know, too. I mean, it's easy. Now, we do it, too, with the Bills, you and I, every day. You kind of spin everything positive because you want these guys to do well and you want to see some wins for your team and for your city. Cleveland does the same thing, and they have reason to think it's going to be a much better year this year. They got a lot of intriguing names and a lot of guys to talk about, most notably Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. They've got two quarterbacks. Tyrod, of course, is a proven quarterback in the league. He's got he was traded from Buffalo to the Browns, and that's going on in tonight's game. And whatever else you think about Tyrod Taylor, you know this. He's a great guy. He's not going to turn it over. He's 5 of 5 last week, led a touchdown drive to open the game against the Giants and sat down. Maybe he'll get a little bit more time tonight. But then you've got Baker Mayfield walking onto the field, probably throwing the football against Josh Allen.
Yeah.
First overall pick, and that's
the 7th overall.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch those guys.
Yep. It's going to be a fun game. We're looking forward to it. Kickoff 7:30. Steve will have the television call with his buddy Andrew Catalan and Thad Brown on the Bills Television Network, right? 7:30 broadcast there. We've got the radio call on our flagship radio here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550 and up and down the radio network. And on WGR in Buffalo, countdown to kickoff starts at 4 p.m. Kickoff at 7:30 with myself, Mark Kelso, and Sal Capaccio. I'll tell you one thing that might happen between now and kickoff today to the Cleveland Browns, Steve. They may. I have a feeling They're going to sign Dez Bryant before kickoff today.
They might.
Just to, again, juice up this fan base. And Dez Bryant was here yesterday meeting with the Browns, did not sign a contract, but he brought his agent here. He didn't just come in for a visit. He brought his agent. And he told he went to a radio station yesterday here in Cleveland and said, we're trying to work some things out. He says they'll continue talking and no more tomorrow, meaning today. I have a feeling that's going to happen before kickoff, just to kind of get the Browns fan base energized a little bit. I think Dez Bryant's going to be a Cleveland Brown, and I think it's going to, he won't play, but I think it's going to happen before kickoff tonight.
It'll be interesting to see him standing on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, which he, you know, he would be. He'd probably be right there with the rest of the crew. And it would be. It would add a lot of buzz to this and a lot of buzz to this team. They've got some stuff going on at their wide receiver position with Jarvis Landry, with Antonio Callaway, who played pretty well last week, Antonio Callaway did, and the people here in Cleveland are looking for him to be the guy who steps up and plays consistently enough. They're still looking for Josh Gordon to return to this team, so they've got a lot of physical talent. Dez Bryant would be one more tool into that toolbox at that position. They would be neck deep in really good physical talent, and if they can put it all together with the two quarterbacks they've got going, Cleveland could air it out pretty good.
You know, I've been down on the Browns for a couple of weeks now and months, really. And then our conversation yesterday with Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, really, I think one of the longest tenured beat reporters, 28 years or something, she's been covering the Browns. She knows this team. And I was thinking about it because she was pretty positive about where Cleveland's going this year, where the Browns are headed. And I was thinking about it on the drive down here last night. She has no reason to offer false hope or pump up false hope about the team. She sees something here. Now, I didn't see it until the last couple of days when you look deep at the roster. That's talent, right? I got to admit.
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, if he's going to stay on the straight and narrow and play.
That's
talented
right.
player. Dez Bryant, even in his advanced age, has something to offer this
right.
team. We know who Tyrod is. You can play with Tyrod Taylor. You can get to the playoffs
right.
with Tyrod Taylor as your quarterback. They do have some talent at the running back spot. Nick Chubb, they're a second-round pick. This guy's going to be a pretty good player. They have last year's first overall pick, Myles Garrett, on the defensive side of the ball. They have a good tight end in Njoku, who had two touchdown catches last week. Okay, I see.
Right.
I see where the talent is here in the Cleveland Browns roster. I also see signs of dysfunction and, you know, just kind of not focusing on the task at hand, and we'll see. Maybe you can. We've seen it. You can win without being a completely focused, button-down team. You can win in the NFL. I'm not saying the Browns are going to win 10 or 12 games, but they might not be as bad as I thought they would be, you know, a week or so ago.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too. You talk about the dysfunction. One of the reasons you know that that's happening is the Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
We've got Tim Rumpf coming up on the show today. We're going to be asking him about that. And I've
Tim is the director of Hard Knocks and a
right.
producer at NFL Films.
I've cautioned you against saying don't read too much into the dysfunction that Hard Knocks shows, because that's what they want, you know. They want to show all that stuff and get some drama, some human drama, and to get some reality TV into it. So they're going to accentuate that. And, of course, you and I have spent a lot of time talking about their two coordinators who love controversy,
attention.
Don't shy away and attention. So those guys are in the mix as well, and we kind of focused on them. They're both quality coordinators, no doubt about it, but they do give some human drama. And then, of course, the guy we haven't even talked about yet is Corey Coleman, who added to that in that first episode of Hard Knocks. He said, if you don't want me to play, why don't y'all just trade me?
And
they did. And he will be back in Cleveland tonight playing for the Buffalo Bills. So there's a lot going on here. This is an onion of a preseason game. There's a lot of layers.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Looking forward to the game, and I hope you are as well. We're going to talk about that for the next 3 hours. A good show. As Steve said, Tim Rumpf, Hard Knocks director and NFL Films producer, scheduled to join us at 12:30 to talk about that show and how they put it together and what the Browns are all about. Color man Mark Kelso from the Bills Radio Network, my game day partner, will be joining us here today. He's here. I had breakfast with him this morning. He's getting set for the game tonight. Nobody studies harder for the game than Steve Tasker or Mark Kelso. seriously, he's unbelievable.
He's really good.
I mean, I
like Mark a lot. I like listening to him. He's knowledgeable, and he does it well for radio, too. You got to paint that picture, and he does a nice job of it.
Chris Brown will join us later on today in 2 o'clock hour. Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. For the latest on this game and what the Bills are up to. And we're here until 3. We'll take you right up till just before kickoff today. Not a whole lot going on as far as the Bills are concerned. They flew down here yesterday at 1 o'clock, checked into the hotel, went about their business, meetings today. I was passing in the hallway today Eddie Yarbrough, second-year defensive end, and I said, Eddie, this is the worst part of the day, isn't it? He goes, yep. I'm wandering around the hotel. Basically, that's all you can do on a game day like this, right? You played several primetime games in your career. It's the worst part of – it's one of the worst parts of an NFL game day, I think, when you're playing at night and you're stuck in a hotel all day, and at least the players have meetings to go to. Now, we have this three-hour show to do, but it's a long, long day when you're playing at night.
And it's interesting, too, because you don't have anything to do, and guys don't spend any time doing much. I mean, they wander around the hotel, but it sounds crazy, but it's exhausting. You know
to
what
do
I mean?
Nothing
it's
is exhausting
to do because you're so amped up emotionally, and you've got so much mental, you know, so many mental pictures going on. It's really exhausting to just stand around and do nothing.
Go
and
to meetings and
you're
hear
trying
the same
to you're
over
trying to take
right?
a nap. You can't sleep. You're just too keyed up. You know you've got a game, and you know it's an important job interview you've got, and you can't wind down and relax and get rested up for the game.
Eddie Yarbrough said to me, if I had it my way, he said, I'd go to sleep with my pads on. I'd wake up with my pads on and go right to the stadium. He said, I don't like waiting around all day. I thought it was kind of funny. What makes me wonder, the Super Bowls that you played in, Steve, late afternoon or early evening games?
6:40 kickoffs.
What did you do those four times?
You really did
what
that.
Did you do
you tried
day?
To, and I, you know, if I could remember, I'd tell you, but your mind is 1,000 miles an hour and your body's sitting still. You know?
Mean, did you hang with family or what?
Some you try to on a game like that. On a game, on a game like that, you kind of stiff arm everybody. You kind of give them a heads up. Say, listen, on game day, I'm going to be busy doing nothing. So
stay away.
Yeah, I don't want you to. And back, and it was years. So it wasn't like you blew up your phone texting and all that stuff. You know, right?
No
so,
such thing.
Yeah. So you turn the phone in the room off and try and get some rest, and you listen, and you do watch all the pregame stuff. So for a Super Bowl, there's all kind of, 6 hours of pregame. So you do that, but man, oh man, it's exhausting, and it drives you crazy.
They're in that mode here. The Bills players are getting ready to go essentially right across the street. We're on Lakeshore Boulevard, a block, maybe a block and a half from First Energy Stadium, the nice stadium that the Cleveland Browns have here. And 7:30 kickoff. We're looking forward to it. We're going to talk with you a lot about it, and we want to know what you think about the game. It's not a Twitter poll today. You know how I feel about Twitter polls. I've been outvoted again. I love them. I like offering multiple. I always like, when I was in school, I love multiple choice questions. Right? You got a better chance to win or get the right answer.
You got a better chance to coast through.
Yes.
Get lucky.
Yes.
I get you.
But we didn't do a Twitter poll today because our producer Jay Harris and Steve feel that it limits you. And your responses. That's why other is always a choice. But whatever. I'm good with it.
Let it go, bro. It's a done.
Our
it's
question
done.
Of the day, not a Twitter poll. It's up on Twitter. You can respond there. We'd love to hear your voice on the telephone line on this Friday afternoon. Our Twitter poll, our Twitter question. It's pretty simple. What are you looking for out of tonight's game? What is it you're looking for from tonight's game? Bills, Browns, what is it you're going to look at? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or respond via Twitter at OneBillsLive. Just don't try to vote.
I could
easily give you a couple of multiple-choice answers you could choose from, but I've been outvoted on that.
How can you belittle such a deep,
it's not deep.
A deep question, philosophical query, like what are you looking for out of tonight's game?
Yeah.
That is an absolute... It's a mind blower. It's such a deep question.
Well, let me try to answer. I want to get your answers on this, too, and your answers as well in the audience, radio or TV. What are you looking for from tonight's game? Here's what I'm looking for, Steve. Looking for some sort of movement anyway, separation on the quarterback question. Look, we had you weren't there. Monday, I think, we had Sean McDermott on the radio show back at camp. And he laughed at me, but I asked him a question. Do you feel like the clock is ticking on your quarterback issue? He looked at me and laughed. I said, what are you laughing at? This is a serious question. I feel like the clock is ticking. I feel like, and I believe that McDermott wants to have his September 9th starter in place next Sunday, a week from Sunday, for preseason game number 3, which means you need some separation. Quite frankly, Steve, we have not had great separation. The good moments, all three of them have had good moments, and many of them came in the preseason game number 1 last week. But I haven't seen separation, really, from any of them. And I was thinking today, a couple of years ago when the Bills went through this three-man quarterback competition, again, three quarterbacks playing well, Matt Cassel, Tyrod Taylor, and E.J. Manuel. But eventually, and it was right around now, midway through the preseason schedule, when Tyrod Taylor began to separate himself and was clear that he, in fact, I think it might have been here at Cleveland. I think he played here, played pretty well, and got hurt in a preseason game at Cleveland. But my point is, we need some separation there. We need some concrete evidence that this guy, Mr. X, should start for the Bills against Baltimore September 9th. That's what I'm looking for, first and foremost.
Yeah, I agree. That's what you're looking at. And because right now, let's face it, after that first preseason game, it's kind of a coin flip, Peterman or McCarron. And I think Josh Allen showed that while he is more physically gifted than those guys with a better arm, he also has a lot to learn about being patient, being poised, not throwing the football up for grabs when he's going down.
He only did that once.
It's okay to take a sack. It's okay to take a bad play.
He put it up for grab once, by the way.
Right. But, you know, that kind of thing.
Just once.
Is something he's got to learn. And,
yes.
And, you know, it's. So I agree with you. Right now, Peterman or McCarron, for me, flip a coin. Each one is as good as the other right now.
But I don't want a coin flip. I want some separation. I want to see it tonight.
That's exactly right. That's why I bring it up. You got to see it tonight. And this is the week. I agree with you. Next game, somebody's going to play the entire first half and into the second half as a starter for the Buffalo Bills. And we're going to find out who that is before then. And tonight is going to be enormous as to which guy that is. Now, last week, they had a different rotation. It was Peterman, McCarron, Allen. Now it's going to be McCarron, Allen, and then Peterman, right?
I believe so. I think that's
my guess.
Okay.
I'm right? I mean, it's the plan, right? I think that's – I mean, if I'm reading it right, they're – I mean, because they're not going to – because they haven't given anything away. That's the rotation they've used
in camp this week.
So right. That's why I'm thinking that's what they're going to do.
Well
– So if that happens, that – I don't know. What does that tell you?
What does it tell you?
Nothing. It doesn't tell me anything. I want to know.
I want separation. I want to see. Because
if they start McCarron tonight, I mean, all this stuff doesn't mean anything that we've seen. Because every pre-practice press conference, they're saying, "What's the quarterback?" Hey, Josh Allen's taken with the twos today. Well,
that could happen tonight.
Yeah. Hey, AJ McCarron's with the ones, and then Peterman's with the twos. And now Peterman's with the twos, and McCarron's with the ones, and Josh is back to the threes. Now he's taking – I mean, all this stuff doesn't tell us anything.
I'm bummed. Don't be bummed. I'm telling you, that's, to me, job one of tonight's game. Let's get some separation. Let's see who they think has a chance to be the September 9th start.
See, because here's the thing. What if Peterman and McCarron both go 9 of 10, 10 of 12, whatever it is they go, both of them throw a touchdown pass, well, you know, and then Josh comes in and goes like he did, like 11 of 20 for 95 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, what if they played like last week?
Yeah. What are we going to do?
Well, we're not going to do anything.
Well, we're going to do something. We're going to talk about it a lot.
Yeah, but McDermott will make the call.
I want to see who, I mean, we've seen, was it, now I'm confused. Was Peterman the ones this, no, it was. Did McCarron go
McCarron,
to the ones?
The last couple of days, got
okay.
most of the work.
So let's
the
say
ones.
McCarron starts, and that doesn't mean Peterman's not going to go in at number twos now either, right?
Josh has been working
Josh
with twos
has been with the twos,
week.
Right? We've been watching that.
Yeah. So why would you practice like that and not go
but
that
But see,
way
then here's
today,
the thing.
Tonight.
Then if that happens, then Josh gets – like if they do it like last week and the quarterback takes the second quarter, like number two – like Allen takes the second quarter like Peterman did last week – or no, McCarron did last week – so they go, I'm talking myself in circles. So yeah. McCarron starts, Allen takes the twos. Then you give Peterman a whole second half, right?
You'd do that, I guess.
What?
To what end?
That,
I don't know.
Well, yeah, that see, because then McCarron didn't get that last week. If you're going to try and flip it, there, you know, that changes stuff.
Yeah, it'll work out.
Well, what are they going to do?
Don't worry.
It doesn't seem like a fair assessment.
It'll be okay.
But that's what they got. That's what's got to happen if they do it like they did in
practice. I just want separation. I want to see separation. I want to see it tonight against the Browns. What else are you looking
for? What would you do? You'd start Allen.
I told
Allen.
You what I did.
You'd start
I told
Allen.
You last a week ago, Friday.
You'd start Allen
I'd
through
start
the first
Josh
half.
And let him play the first half. I, it
you
doesn't
think that'll
appear.
Happen? Is there a chance?
Based on what we saw
twos.
In practice this week, it doesn't appear that's going to happen.
It could happen.
They didn't practice that way all week.
So?
I guess it could. Let's take a call from Mike in Blaisdell. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. This question's for Steve. Being around
Hi.
The coordinators there, how much of an impact do you think Dable will have right away, and do we start seeing it like in games like tonight?
Well, that's one of the things I'm looking for tonight as well, and is that I want to see everybody start to grasp this offense and them start doing – I mean, I think they want to keep it simple a little bit, and they will compress the game plan. But I think one thing we saw against – Carolina, the one thing they didn't compress and the one thing they didn't simplify was the personnel packages. I mean, right, Murph? I mean, we saw guys running on and off all the time, different personnel combinations. Every single play was different people, and I think that was part of the exercise for that game. That was part of the test and the evaluation. Forget about playing. Let's see if you know when you're supposed to be in there and when you can get off and on. Can you stay engaged in the game, and can we run a play when we call it? And I think they did a really, really good job of that. So do they take that a step deeper and give them more complex things to do with those personnel combinations, or do we continue to just, you know, make that the object, is make sure you just get the right people on? Because knowing when you get into the regular season, you're installing specific plays that week anyway. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to. And it's a great question. I think I really want the players on that side of the football to have a level of expertise in this offense and the personnel combinations, the formations, the shifts, the motions, and the adjustments. That, to me, is critical for this offense's success this year. That's going to be their go-to thing. They're going to be multiple. They're going to make you think. And if you know your own team and offense can't get lined up right or have the right people on board and have to take timeouts and take delay of game penalties and start jumping off sides, you're going to have big issues that go deep in this team. And I think if that's what I'm looking for in the game tonight, is people to have an expertise in this offense, as much as we can tell that they do.
What are you looking for? That Steve's talking about what he's looking for as far as the offense and the offensive approach. Give us a call. We got lines open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at OneBillsLive. Eric Richardson from the Tweet Sheet says, I can't wait for this game. Whoever says that about a preseason game, that's great. Eric Richardson, I can't wait for this game. Tyrod Taylor owes a debt, and the Bills collectors are coming to collect. Josh Allen hopefully gets some extended playing time and goes toe-to-toe with Baker Mayfield. I want to see the offensive line continue to protect the quarterback and play well. A lot of stuff there. You also believe that you want to see some stuff from the offensive line, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they need to start picking five guys and stick with them. They've been rotating Russ Bodine and Ryan Groy at center. The guards, I think, Vlad Dukas is going to end up taking over the left guard where Richie Incognito was, and I think John Miller's going to move back into the starting spot that he lost last year to Vlad Dukas at right guard. And then your tackles, I think they're set. You got the same left tackle you did a year ago in Deion Dawkins and Jordan Mills at right tackle, who is starting to become a fixture over there. So I think they feel good about those guys, but we'll see how they rotate, because they will. They'd love to have eight guys that they think they could start any combination of five guys within those eight. It'll be interesting to see. I think Russ Bodine and Ryan Groy are those guys. And behind them, maybe Wyatt Teller has emerged as one of the guys they like behind him. And which of those tackles is going to back him up?
I think DeAndre Wesley's had a good camp. Right. And has opened some eyes here. Yeah, offensive. Yeah. You know what I think is big? What I want to see tonight, we talk about quarterbacks, that would be top of my list. I want to see Corey Coleman a lot. And I want to, for the Bills' sake, I want to see Corey Coleman be effective tonight. He's only been around for a week, a week and a half in practice, so he understandably wouldn't have complete command of the playbook. I get that. But there are things he can do which deal with speed and a deep threat that he's good at, 4.37 40-yard dash time. I hope that they utilize that. I think the Bills coaching staff wants to see what Corey Coleman might provide. They've got a question at receiver, right? Coleman is a former talented first-round pick, 15th overall. So even though he hasn't done it yet on a consistent basis in the NFL 2 years in, this, I think he realizes this is his chance. I want to see Corey Coleman a lot of snaps tonight, and I want to see him make a difference tonight. That really is at or near the top of my wish list tonight.
And if think from the coach's standpoint and from their point of view, you got this guy, Corey Coleman, and all the stuff that's been said about him in Cleveland, all the problems he had, the injuries, the drop passes, all the baggage that he brings in. He was traded. He was part of the Carson Wentz trade for Cleveland. There's that baggage that he had nothing to do with. And then he said, even on Hard Knocks, he said, if you don't want me to play me, just trade me. And here he is coming back. And I think if you're the Bills coaching staff, you want to find out what that guy's made of. All right, you asked for a trade. They gave it to you. Now you get to go back, and you're going to have a huge opportunity to rub their faces in it. Are you going to show up tonight? Are you going to do that? I would think they're going to give him a big opportunity to come in and make a difference in this game. And I think part of his evaluation process, forget about how well he plays, how he acts. You know, how, what's his mindset? Is this a game he's going to embrace?
Yeah, or he's got to.
This is a. I think this
Look, that guy's career is on the line here.
And I think it should be.
Not
if
tonight,
you can't show up in a game like this, if you're Corey Coleman, if you can't put the extra effort in getting the plays that you're going to run, or your list of plays, if you can't put it all in 100% in a game like this, thanks for stopping by.
Right.
You know,
we don't care where you got drafted. We didn't draft you for 15th overall.
Right. Thanks for stopping by. It was great seeing you move on along. I mean, that's it. I mean, this is a game for him that will say a lot about what he's capable of and where his head's at. I agree with you, Merv. I want to see him a ton in this game.
More from the tweet sheet to our question, what are you looking for from tonight's game? What do you want to see? MadCow251 tweets in, besides Josh Allen, Zay Jones and Corey Coleman. One of them needs to step up in a big way this season. I agree. The problem with Zay is, Steve, he's only had 3 days of a full non-contact practice, right? I won't count yesterday's walkthrough, so he had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So do you want to, you know, he's coming off injury. I don't know that they're going to give him a heavy workload tonight, Zay Jones. Right. He's looked good in practice. He looks like a different attitude in practice. But I don't know if I would put him to the test tonight, maybe a week from tonight.
And he and Coleman, that's a good thing that you put, I think, that MadCow251 put them together. Zay and Coleman both are kind of in that spot where this is a big shot for them. Zay Jones been standing around watching for a long time. He's fallen behind. He's kind of off the – he's on the back burner. Or how's he going to do? How's he going to be? He's got all that stuff from the offseason and last year. How's he going to do? It's kind of like Corey Coleman. Like, this is a big opportunity. Did he come in?
I just don't know that Zay is physically and coming out, only 3 days of practice this week. I don't know if you really want to put him to the test.
Right. How is he going to come into this game? Is he going to have a chance to flex? I mean, say, hey, I'm a number two draft pick. Watch this. You know, that kind of thing, even after the short preparation. But I agree with you. That's going to be something to watch as well. We have from the tweet sheet again from Mikey, which I know I'm reading this because I know you.
I was going to read it
right
next.
Mikey's hitting a home run for Murph. He'd love to see Allen with the number ones. You want to see Josh Allen play with the first team.
Wanted to see him start, and it doesn't, based on the week of practice, the way we saw him used during practice, that doesn't appear likely. Now, there's nothing that might not prevent them from working Josh Allen with some first teamers tonight. You know, if McCarron starts, maybe Josh Allen can, if he's going to go in
twos,
as a second quarterback, he'd work with twos and maybe a couple of ones. Look, I'm all ones, twos, and especially twos and threes. The distinctions get a little hazy, right?
Right.
You ask me, in some positions, is this guy a second teamer or a third teamer? I have a hard time telling you for some positions, really. I mean, there's kind
depends
of a pecking
on what
order.
Day it is.
Yeah, it's a pecking order, but it's a hazy, unclear pecking order. So Josh Allen could get some work with ones tonight, or some ones, and I'd be good with that. I wish they'd give him a big, heavy workload night, and maybe they will. They might just do that. Yeah. A call here from Dave in Buffalo. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. Great show. Love it. I just wanted to say, you guys are talking about separation, not seeing any separation right now with the quarterbacks. And I guess my point, and then I have a question. My point is that maybe McDermott's looking for separation, and that's why he's switching around the way they are with AJ at the ones, and the twos, and Peterman with
absolutely.
And if you don't, I guess my question is, if you don't see any separation as of tonight, or even throughout the week, do you think he would give Allen a chance next preseason with the ones?
I would actually, and I want to get Steve on this too, Dave. I would actually think if there's not a great deal of separation tonight. Look, if Josh Allen doesn't separate tonight, I think my guess is McDermott would be inclined to go the other way, to go with McCarron or with Peterman, just because you know it's a little bit safer bet. If Josh Allen could look really good tonight and show, you know, put on display his big strong arm and all of the dynamic potential he possesses. If I'm the head coach, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I got to use this guy right away. But if you don't get that, you'd think, okay, he looks good, but I'm going to go with the safe bet here, McCarron or Peterman. That's just my interpretation of the way they might play it.
And one of the things that happened also, Dave, thanks for the call, is when they talk about separation, no question that it's easier to play well when you've got number one personnel around you. When you step up there with the first offensive line with Kelvin Benjamin and Jeremy Curley, and you got those guys running with you and Charles Clay at tight end, it's easier to look good as a quarterback. One of the other things is they wanted to see if one of these quarterbacks, Peterman or McCarron, when they go back to the number threes, can they make those guys better? That was part of the evaluation process. They want to see these quarterbacks be leaders. They want to see them step up and say, hey, listen, I'm going to make you better. I'm going to throw to you. I'm going to make, you know. So part of the evaluation process is the effect that quarterback has on players that are down the roster, the number threes. Can they step into that huddle and improve the play of those guys? Can they show themselves, the coaching staff, maybe even Josh Allen, how it's done when you're trying to be the guy and be the lead dog and be the best player on the field? And I think that they want to see that from those guys as well. So, like, whether it's Peterman or McCarron or Allen who's taking reps with the threes, they want to know, can they elevate other players around them, and vice versa? Can they take advantage of the better players around them when they do play with those guys? So I think that's part of the evaluation process that went into the flip-flop into the quarterbacks this week as well.
I thought the caller, Dave, made a really good point early on in his call when he said maybe the reason why McCarron is flipping the rotation here in these games is because he hasn't seen separation. I think
McDermott,
McDermott. Yeah, he hasn't seen separation yet, and he wants to know, right? That's what part of what this preseason is all about, answering those questions.
I've been getting the feel, though, too, that some of the stuff that I've been listening to all of the press conferences and the questions that they've answered, how they've answered it, and McDermott, I really get the feeling that all these flip-flops, the twos and the ones and the twos and the threes, and then the threes to the ones and the ones to the threes, and all this stuff, the quarterback. I get a feeling that they had this exact thing planned 3 months ago. Listen, after the first preseason game, we're going to give that whatever rookie we draft, we're going to give him some reps with the twos in that week, and we're going to flip-flop the other two and see how they do with the threes and the ones back and forth there, and maybe we'll sprinkle Allen in with the ones once in a while. And then I get the feeling this was all mapped out before. It has nothing to do with how they're playing now or in the last week and a half.
With what we've
seen,
they
were going to run this experiment and this test and this evaluation process this way. They were going to do it 3 months ago, whether anybody got hurt or got, or whatever, whoever the quarterbacks were. So, all of us trying to say, keep track of, hey, he was 5 of 7 today and he threw a pick. And it's meaningless because they're going to make these changes based on meetings and evaluations and a plan they had made 3 or 4 or a month or 6 weeks before training camp even started.
It's Bills and Browns tonight, preseason game number 2 for each team. The Browns won last week, the Bills lost. What does that matter? But there are a lot of issues that really do matter, and we're here to talk about them until 3 o'clock today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, top of the next hour, we'll have Mark Kelso, our radio color analyst, will be joining us to get his take on tonight's game. Coming up around 1:30, Tim Rumpf, NFL Films producer and director of Hard Knocks. He's been camped out here with the Cleveland Browns for the last several weeks. We'll talk with him about that. And at 2 o'clock, Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, joins us. We're coming to you from Cleveland, the Hilton Cleveland downtown on Lakeside Avenue. Great hotel, very accommodating to us. We're doing the show here until 3, and Steve and I go our separate ways and do our football broadcast.
Yeah, we'll hop on the bus together, head to the stadium.
Late bus today.
Yeah.
So come on back for more. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, from Cleveland on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to Cleveland, to the Hilton Cleveland downtown. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. It is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. We're here until 3 o'clock. It's an extended pregame show for one of the most highly anticipated preseason games I've ever been around. It's crazy, but it is.
Yeah.
The weather's going to be, it could be crazy, the weather, as a matter of fact. I was checking the forecast. Kickoff tonight, 7:30. Temperature's going to be about 77 degrees, but there's going to be cloudy skies and a 60% chance of rain showers, maybe even thunder showers tonight.
How much would that stink if the game was, not
delayed?
Not even delayed.
Interrupted.
Just, that would stink. Just like torn up because of the rain. Can't do anything because it's raining so hard. Can't throw it. Can't evaluate. Nobody can play good.
Let's not get carried away. We're excited about this preseason game, but that would stink.
That would really stink.
If we're here for 4 hours for a preseason game, that would stink.
What if we get there and they're about to, and they delay it because of lightning?
That's the kind of thing that could happen tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing. That's really basically the only thing they'll stop an NFL game for is lightning.
Don't wish for that.
I'm not wishing for it.
Want to know from you what you're looking for tonight.
Talk about it won't happen. If we bring our umbrellas, it won't rain.
Steve and I talking about what we are looking for, but let's get your opinions. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. What are you looking for from tonight's game? I mentioned Corey Coleman, the receiver acquired August 5th in the trade with the Cleveland Browns, coming back here to play at Cleveland tonight. I'm looking for him to make his mark tonight to show why he deserves a spot on this roster. I really am. A.J. McCarron talked about it down at training camp the other day. McCarron was asked about Corey Coleman and what this game could mean for him, and here's what the Buffalo quarterback had to say.
I've known Corey for some time. You know, when my trade part was, we thought we're going through, and I was going through, you know, with Cleveland last year, and this off season we kind of stayed in touch, and so I've known him for a while, and you know, I feel like Corey's done a great job of, you know, always asking if he doesn't know, and he's going to continue to grow and play faster and not have to think, but it's just a process for him, right? I mean, it's going to take time, and as long as he understands that, he'll be fine.
It's like they're trained to say that, right? I think that's all from A.J. McCarron. What else are you looking for from tonight, Steve? I mentioned I'm looking for a quarterback separation, looking for Corey Coleman to make his mark. I guess I'm looking for more of the same. When you talked about this offensive cohesion, I'm looking for more of the same of what we saw last week.
Yeah.
Changing formations, changing personnel packages, doing it effortlessly without penalties and without delays. I'm looking for that to be continue as it was last week. And I mean, there's no reason why it wouldn't, but you never know in these games. You know, stuff happens.
I'd like to see the defense play a little bit dominant. I'd like to see them
backups
stop
on defense, especially.
Right, consistently stop the run. Now that Cleveland Browns didn't run the football well last week against the Giants. I think they had 50 net yards rushing. They'll want to come out and set a tone with their run game. I think I'd like to see the number one defense and the number two defense to stop the run. Cleveland's going to make a concerted effort to try and do that. I'd like to see him get a sack or two. We saw Harrison Phillips get a sack last week. I'd like to see some of the pass rushers get a sack. Shaq Lawson played well last week. On the defensive side, I think I tend to do this because of my background in offense. I want to see some individual performances on defense. I like to see some, you know, some turnovers, obviously, but also I like to see some guys rush the passer and have a day, you know. See what the linebackers are doing. I like Matt Milano. I'd like to see him step by if he continues to start, along with Tremaine Edmonds and Lorenzo. I want to see those guys make some tackles. And that front seven is going to have to play well this year. They need to play better than they did a year ago.
Do not expect to see Trent Murphy tonight, the unrestricted free agent signed by the Bills this past spring. Has been out for most of the last week and a half now with a groin injury, and it's unlikely that he's going to play, so don't look for him. I don't think Brandon Riley's going to play either, Steve. He got a pretty serious rib injury last week in the game 8 days ago now and has not practiced much since then. Other than that, I think the Bills are pretty healthy going in. To your point about defense, who are you looking for in defense, especially front seven? There was a lot to like, I thought, last week from what third-round draft pick Harrison Phillips showed. I'd like to see more of that. I think nobody's locked in, but he's pretty steady as the first guy off the bench in that defensive line rotation because of a number of things. His versatility, he can back up Lotulelei, he can back up Kyle Williams. He started last week for Kyle. Because of his athleticism and because of his energy. I mean, he's a high-energy, big motor guy.
Right.
And that's the kind of guy you want coming off the bench on the defensive line. I look for more from Harrison Phillips. I look forward to seeing more from him because I think he's a really good player.
And, you know, I continue to look at the linebackers as the big question mark on the team. You've got Tremaine Edmonds, no question about it. He's going to be the guy inside. I'd like to see him play. And he had one tackle last week. At some point, I want to see him start to own it. I think right now, he's making sure everybody's lined up. He's kind of reading. He's kind of a little mechanical. You know, he's not cut loose and free. He's not just running flat to the football and not worrying about what everybody else is doing. I think he's still a little bit, like I say, mechanical and scripted in what he's doing. If they're doing this, I'm doing that. If I'm doing this, they're probably going to do that. If they're in this formation, I expect this. He's kind of thinking like that instead of saying, man, show me where the ball is. I'm getting it. You know, and before the snap, I think that's where he has to get mentally. And other linebackers, you know, I'd like to see some things from Ramon Humber, Keenan Robinson, some of these guys to step up and show that you know, they're going to be a player on this team. Maybe press for a starting job with Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander, Deion Lacy. You got a lot of names over there. And a lot of guys that I think are in a position to make the roster and contribute defensively. And I want to see those guys in the linebacking core come through.
More from the tweet sheet in answer to our question, what are you looking for in tonight's game, from James Krelovitz. He says, I'm looking for progression throughout the roster. Want to see how Josh Allen plays with some better talent around him and take that next step towards our starting quarterback. He goes on to say, I want to see Marcus Murphy nail down a roster spot. Would love to see Coleman make some plays. And Zay, yeah, you've hit a lot of them. Marcus Murphy in particular, who, again, it's competitive, the battle for essentially the third running back on the Buffalo roster. And Marcus Murphy has put himself right in the midst of that competition with his play and his practice work. He's been outstanding in practice, working with Tywan Jones and Travis Cadet, the other candidates, and to a lesser extent, the rookie Keith Ford. And I'm beginning to think that Marcus Murphy might make his mark in the return work, Steve. He got punt and kick return work last week, and he'll get more of it tonight, I believe. I think that might be his ticket, Marcus Murphy, because if he can be – look, and Tywan Jones is a quality return man too.
Right.
They would love, I'm certain, to save a roster spot, keep one of those two, Tywan Jones or Marcus Murphy, knowing that Marcus Murphy could be a really effective third running back and special teamer and a return man. Tywan Jones, I don't think, provides that kind of talent to be a third running back. He could in a pinch, but – that's a pretty interesting battle to watch.
And it's going to be, I think it's going to come down to what they want the third running back to do. If it's Marcus Murphy, they would need him to be a return guy. If it's Tywan Jones, they need him to be a cover guy or a gunner or a kickoff cover guy. That's going to be interesting. Marcus Murphy, third-year player, he spent a lot of time on practice squads, and he kind of landed here in Buffalo, didn't know about him. And he, we spoke to him, had him on the show, and he's a mature, serious pro running back who knows what kind of opportunity he has here, and he's trying to maximize. He did last week. I thought he showed really well, and I think you're right. When it comes down to this, and you hear it, the same thing coming out of Cleveland's camp. They want to see these guys be consistent, and the guys that are like that, running backs trying to make it, the bottom of the roster, the linebackers that I mentioned a moment ago, defensive linemen, all these, and even young offensive linemen, that's the big key. Can they stack a good game on top of a good game, a good practice on top of a good practice?
What are you looking for in tonight's game? We'll take a break, come back, and talk more about that. Lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your call when we return. One Bills Live, John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you live from Cleveland, the Hilton Cleveland Downtown Hotel. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We're coming to you live from Cleveland, Ohio. I like Cleveland, Steve. I've spent time here over the last week. I've spent some time here, but I like it here. People are great. The city is big. It's a lot like Buffalo, like a bigger Buffalo. There's some less than appealing spots, and there's also a lot of cool spots in Cleveland. I'm
absolutely
always
we had one of our kids went to school here.
That's right.
Over at Case Western. We spent some time down here going to his football games, and it was really nice. He had a really good experience. Loves Cleveland now. Yeah. My son does. And
which son?
Tap.
Okay, he went here. Okay.
Yeah, he was here. Now he's not living here now, but he loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I texted a photo of the stadium last night, and it was him and his wife were like, yeah, all right, that's our town. You know? So it was good.
It's a good place.
We've had great experiences down here in Cleveland.
Yeah. Let's take some calls as we talk about tonight's game. Mark calling from Orlando, Florida. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much. Appreciate the time, fellas. Steve, I wanted you to solve a mystery for me. I've been a Bills fan for over 50 years, so I follow the team very closely. I've also been down here in Florida for 30 years, big Florida State fan. And the question I have for you is this. A few years ago, Nick O'Leary won the national championship at Florida State, won the Mackey Award, was drafted by the Bills in the sixth round, and he's had some time on the field, obviously, but now I'm reading in the press the past few days, he's starting to drop on the depth chart. And Steve, I think this guy is probably one of the top tight ends on the team, if not the top tight end on the team, over Clay. He may not have the wheels that Clay has, but I think he's strong, he's smart, and he's a clutch performer. I've seen that for years. What I don't understand is why this guy is now potentially dropping, and of course I've heard the verbiage, well, he's not a McDermott guy, he's not a Bean guy. You know, that talent, they're going to keep talent on that team. McDermott's smart, Bean is smart, and he's a talented guy, in my opinion. What I'd like to do, Steve, is have you kind of talk about this a little bit and tell me why Nick O'Leary is now falling on the depth chart and why he wasn't utilized under Marone last year, under McDermott, and now appears to be this year. Thank you.
Well, it's a great question, and it's not an easy answer. But the simple fact is, Logan Thomas, Jason Kroom, and Kari Lee, Keith Trowbridge have emerged as being really good players as well. It's not a knock against Nick O'Leary, but you got other guys that are playing really well, and they're faster, and they stretch the field better at the tight end spot. I think Nick O'Leary does some things better than those guys, no question. I think he's a good blocker down inside. I think he gets separation in the passing game. I think his athleticism puts him behind Kroom, Lee, and Thomas. But I think one of the reasons he has been on this team is because he is a clutch player. I mean, there's no question. He shows up. The game's never too big for him. He's played at Florida State, like you said. He played in front of some big crowds, played in some important games, no question about it. But I think the thing about it is other guys have started to emerge and develop into really good players. Logan Thomas is a freakish athlete, and they've been waiting on him for a few years to emerge and become a tight end with some skills that would help him get on the field, and he started to do that. The time that is taken for him to do it has now come to an end. He's there. So he is a 6'6", 250-pound guy who's learning how to block down inside and doing some of the nitty-gritty hard work that Nick O'Leary has done. So it's just a question, not that Nick O'Leary has regressed. I think other players have gotten to his level, and they're starting to look at him.
He didn't ask for my opinion, but I have one. A couple of things. I disagree. Charles Clay is far and away the best tight end on the roster, but we won't need to, we need to hammer that.
Right.
The biggest thing that's happened to Nick O'Leary, in my opinion, is a new offense. There's a brand new offense here with a new set of requirements for the tight end. And I think my sense is Brian Daboll knows what he wants, and he may want different skill sets from his stable of tight ends, three of them probably. You know, if he wants a good blocker, a great blocker, he's got Kari Lee. If he wants a great athlete, he can go to Logan Thomas or to Jason Kroom, Clay at the top of the heap there. But that's the biggest thing, I think, that's happened to Nick O'Leary. And, the other guys are getting better. You know, Kroom has developed, second-year player, getting a little bit better. And I will say this, too, and maybe this will make you feel better, caller from Orlando. I think that's been overstated a little bit, the danger that Nick O'Leary not making this roster. I don't know how that's going to play out. The other guys are getting playing time, and they're going to get more playing time. They're going to get playing time tonight. But I'm not ready to pronounce Nick O'Leary, dead man walking on this roster. I'm really not, and I don't think the coaching staff is yet either. I think that's been overstated in the media.
Some of it is just the same thing they're doing with the quarterbacks. They want to look at these other guys and see what they're doing, and they probably – they know really well what Nick O'Leary can do, and there's nothing that says they don't like him. They may like him very much, but they need to find out if somebody else can earn their affection just as much as Nick O'Leary has. So we'll see. And that's a great point you make, Murph. It is a new offense, and it's going to look different, and Brian Daboll wants different stuff from that position. And they like other guys better for that reason, or at least Brian Daboll does. We don't know that that's true. That's just, we're saying that's a possibility. So, yeah, all that stuff is true. And the fact that other guys are developing, getting better, doesn't say anything bad about Nick O'Leary, but he's in a spot where they're running a new offense, and other guys are starting to develop, and they want to look at him. It could be as simple as that.
All right, a break, and when we return, we're going to talk more about tonight's game. What are you looking for in tonight's game? What's Steve looking for? What I'm looking for? And what is Mark Kelso looking for, the color analyst on the Bills Radio Network? Standing by to join us live here in Cleveland, so come on back for that. We got a lot more to come. One Bills Live from Cleveland on Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.